Welcome to Medium in Our Midst on BBS Radio with your host, psychic medium, Daria Justin. Explore with her the nature of energy, spirituality, and the endless journey of the soul in the afterlife and the here and now. She'll be bringing you different topics, interesting guests, some here and some from the other side. So please relax, listen, enjoy, and expect the unexpected.
And thank you so much for joining me here on BBS Radio this evening, the number one radio station on the internet. Today is Wednesday, October 6th, and I am so excited to be bringing you the show tonight, Medium in Our Midst. It is my heart's desire here to awaken everyone to the light within you, to empower self-healing, and to remember and realize your true potential as a soul having a human experience. And whether you're listening to me for the first time or you have listened many times, I so appreciate you being here to share this time with me. If you would like to visit my website, it is dariajustin.com. There you will find events, guests coming up on the show. You can read my inspirational blog, or you can get information about having a reading. And if you'd like to be kept current, please sign up for my weekly newsletter. You can find me on Facebook, or you can email me at souls@dariajustin.com. Now, we are going to be taking calls later on, and when we do, I will be giving you those. Let me just give you those numbers now, okay, because I'm sure the lines are going to fill up because we have such an exciting show this evening. The toll-free number is 888-815-9756, and the additional lines are 530-327-7602, 530-776-5185, and 530-413-4522. And they are listed up on the BBS station, so you can see those there. But I just want to get on with this because I'm so excited for this very special show this evening. I'm bringing together the energies of two great animal advocates who believe, like I do, that animals have luminous souls and deserve our love and attention. It is my privilege to be the vice president of the Great Animal Rescue Chase and its charity partner, the Harmony Fund, where you can experience the joy of sharing your animal rescue. Laura Simpson is the visionary whose hard work has culminated in a new way to share in the joy of rescuing animals from hummingbirds to hippos. And I also have the witty, keen, intuitive psychic medium, Danielle McKinnon, who will make connections between you and your animals. So you can take a look at both of their websites, but I want to give you a little introduction for each of them. Danielle McKinnon is a consultant, coach, and so much more than that. Her vision is to empower others, whether human or animal, to live their most fulfilling and enjoyable lives possible. She is deeply connected to the animal kingdom and communicates with pets and their efforts and their humans effortlessly. She uses her skills to help animals and their people better understand one another while working toward a common goal, happiness. Who wouldn't want to be happy? Her particular gift is in revealing the soul contract between pet and human, which once determined can open the door to a more fulfilling, more balanced, and a happier relationship. Danielle has been highlighted in newspapers, magazines, webzines, radio shows, and more, and her client base spans the globe. She was most recently featured in John Holland's new book, Spirit Whisperer, in Elevated Existence magazine, and she has taught at the esteemed Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York, with colleagues Colette Baron-Reed, Robert Ohoto, and John Holland. You can contact her at www.daniellemckinnon.com. Laura Simpson is a devoted animal advocate who spent more than a decade as the United States Director of the World Society for the Protection of Animals, where she specialized in educating Americans about the needs of animals across the globe. She rang the bell on more than $30 million in donations to build sanctuaries for abused bears in Asia and Eastern Europe, develop free spay neuter clinics in rural Kenya, support lion conservation work around Tanzania's Ngorongoro Crater. Sorry about that, Laura. You can fill us in with that one. and dozens of other projects. She's also been instrumental in securing disaster relief for the animal victims of earthquakes, forest fires, hurricanes, volcanoes, and war. This specialized charity experience makes Laura uniquely qualified to lead the Harmony Fund's Global Animal Rescue Charity. Animal lovers of every stripe will enjoy the Harmony Fund's fresh approach to animal rescue with a focus on empowerment and blue sky thinking. Bottle feed orphaned otters on the Isle of Skye, collect snares to protect elephants and hippos in Zimbabwe, and watch as a long-abused bear in China takes his first steps. This gets me so emotional. On the grassy lawn of a park-like sanctuary where jam and honey are hidden in the trees. With projects in 10 countries, the Harmony Fund and its supporters are creating extraordinary change for animals in need. Animal lovers in the audience may wish to visit the Great Animal Rescue Chase, an international race to save the lives of a million animals. So please go to the website, www.animalrescuechase.com, share your story, and upload your photos. So thank you, ladies, so much for being here. And to try to keep this a little bit organized so everybody's not talking at once, Danielle, I'm going to first welcome you. And thank you so much for being here this evening.
You're welcome, and it's an exciting night.
Well, you know, I knew that I wanted to bring an animal intuitive onto the show, and I knew for this project that you were the person that I wanted. You, there, if anyone who goes to your website can see how devoted you are to spirituality, to helping people connect to their own, with their own spiritual beings and with the spiritual beings of animals, and I know how busy you are.
I am really busy.
I do want to mention that you have made Bob Olson's list of best psychic mediums.
Yes.
You also have so many classes and CDs. I want to mention the newest CD is Own Your Energy Techniques for Balancing Your Being. But what I would like to ask you is, when I approached you about coming on tonight for the Great Animal Rescue Chase, what inspired you about the website or about what you read?
Honestly, as soon as I knew what it was, I mean, I'm psychic. I knew I was supposed to do it. For me, there's such a great energy behind it. It's a very big, all-encompassing, loving energy, and it didn't feel like it was about, even though it says the rescue 1 million animals, it didn't feel like it was a publicity stunt. It felt like the point of it really is to rescue and help and serve the animals.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is very important.
And I know that you talk about how we always think how we help animals, but I know one thing that you talk about is how animals help us to be better human beings. So why don't you just share a little bit about that with us?
In my travels, working with animals and listening to the animals, because that's one of the things that I do, they have told me that they are here to serve humans in much the same way that we consider ourselves here to serve, or probably most of the people listening tonight consider themselves here to serve animals. The animals want to help move people forward. So what we're finding is that a lot of animals are in difficult positions. And in those difficult positions, it's kind of like a challenge to the human to rise up out of their own, let's call it crap or challenges or whatever's going on with them, and be a better person in order to work with this animal or in order to help this animal. So there's a real coming together of, hey, I'm in this position. It's not a great position, but I'm going to help you if you rise to meet the occasion. So the animals and the humans are definitely working together when humans choose to rise to the occasion.
Mm-hmm. And that's a great introduction for Laura. But before I say hi to Laura, I just want to let all of our listeners know that when the show is over, within the next 24 hours, if you donate to the Harmony Fund, which Laura will tell you all about that, you will be entered into a drawing. We have two drawings. Danielle is going to donate a free download of her class, Animal Energy Clearing, and I am going to donate a 30-minute reading. So what you need to do is you need to go there and donate a little or a lot, whatever you can, and then email me at souls@dariajustin.com that you have donated, and then we will do it, two drawings. So good evening, Laura. Thank you so much for being here.
Good evening. Thank you for having me, Daria.
Well, I was so inspired by you. I've known Laura for quite some time now. And when you first started talking about this global rescue tournament called the Great Animal Rescue, I could see it. I could actually see the whole thing. So, Laura, what inspired you? And let me just tell the audience, Laura, if she is not spending her time taking care of her family, every waking moment she is spending trying to help animals. So, Danielle, when you talk about rising to your highest self, let me tell you, this woman is, every moment of every day is rising to her highest self. So let's share what inspired you to create this global rescue tournament called the Great Animal Rescue Chase.
Well, you know, it's been a long time dream of mine to do something like this. I think it's sort of been in the back of my mind for a long time, and I wasn't sure exactly what shape it would take. My background, I worked for a long time in international animal protection, and I headed the American office of a global charity. And one of the things I noticed was that there was a pattern in that there was sort of a false reliance on the charity sector, that every week we would get dozens of phone calls from people who had been traveling. Let's say someone went on vacation to Greece, and they saw a dog with a broken leg who was just, you know, making his way through the streets and in really bad shape. They'd sort of return home from their vacation and then call us a week later and have this very real expectation that we could save that animal. And it was always so frustrating to me that people didn't seize the opportunity to do something for themselves, that they felt that and I think this is perhaps in some way the fault of the humane societies. Over the years, we've tried so hard to, my cat's chiming in, to encourage people and to let them know we're here to help. And now there's this perception that we can be everything to every animal, but that's hardly the case. I mean, if you look at charitable giving across America, I think it's less than 2% of all the donations that come in a given year go to animals and the environment combined.
Wow.
I mean, it's such a small part of the way that we give as Americans. It's so underserved. So most animal organizations are really staffed by volunteers and really understaffed. They're always feeling, you know, overwhelmed. And I think that got me started thinking, like, okay, well, what is it we could do to sort of bring in reinforcements? And I realized that what we really needed to do was to fundamentally change the culture, to get people to not have that expectation that someone else will save the animal, but to realize that we all have that innate ability within us to save a life. And it doesn't mean you have to have arms like a firefighter or have expert training and, you know, how to lasso a wild horse or anything like that.
Right.
You know, there's so many everyday opportunities to help an animal in distress, whether it's a slow-moving turtle going across the road or a stray cat in the neighborhood or a neglected horse in the outskirts of town. Each of us has an opportunity to say, hey, I'm not going to walk away and just think, oh, that's too bad, but I'm actually going to stop and do something about this.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's what it's all about.
And what I really love about the way you created the website for the Great Animal Rescue Chase is that there is a place where you can learn, but you can also inspire others. So you have, I know I uploaded my story of how I rescued Fuchi, who was just one of my rescued cats, but he happened to be a feral cat that I just didn't want to give up on. Or a man who rescued a little hummingbird, and people can upload their stories of what you did that day to help an animal in distress. And then somebody else might be able to learn, oh, I needed to know how to do that, but I wasn't sure how to do it, and here I can, you know, I'm learning something.
That's the thing. It's really about sort of sharing secrets as to what works and inspiring one another. It's there'll be really nice synergy as the rescue tournament grows. We just got started in July. We're sort of brand new. But I think there's a lot of good things to come.
And when you say you just got started, I want our audience to understand that this has taken you years of working to get this put together.
A lot of late nights.
Right, a lot of, and also the, you know, for me, it's kind of like the Goosebump place. You have a video. I encourage everyone to go on there. Danielle, did you watch the video?
Oh, I watched the video. I tweeted the video. I Facebooked the video.
Oh, that's right. It's on your website. Thank
yep.
you so much for that. Wasn't that
You're
an
welcome.
Absolutely beautiful video?
Yeah, it is. It really is.
You know, and another thing, too, is that when you go on this website, you can see the grace of the animals and how they have come out on the other end. You're not going to see horrible pictures that you can't even look at, you know, because it's so upsetting that you can't look at it. You're going to see the benefit of animals who have been helped and how beautiful their lives are now. So let's talk about the Harmony Fund. Because that's the charity partner to the Great Animal Rescue Chase. So, Laura, why don't you, like, define the two of them?
Okay. Well, the Great Animal Rescue Chase, as we said, is an international animal rescue tournament, and it's really about people just going out and seizing everyday opportunities to save a life. Every participant is asked to just save one life, help one animal, and then go on the website and load their story and their photos as an inspiration to others. But I've always felt that animal rescue is sort of a twofold proposition. It's not only about engaging in individual acts of kindness on a daily basis or, you know, even once a year or once in a blue moon, but also about supporting those organizations that are at the forefront of animal protection all year long. And in my experience over the years, I've come to know many, many organizations around the world. And there are a few of them that really stood apart from the rest that were staffed with just these incredible, legendary crusaders who were, you know, achieving the most remarkable things on behalf of animals without hardly any funding or any support. They just believed. I find that there's one common element with all successful rescuers, those who are really achieving the most. They all are sort of optimists at heart. They all have this belief that it can be done, it will be done, and they're going to make sure it gets done. And there is a faith in God. I find that to be a common thread as well. And sort of a selflessness. So I looked at the organizations that really embodied those characteristics and had tremendous potential, and I thought, now these are the organizations I'd like to help. So I put together the Harmony Fund charity in order to serve these organizations. And right now we have a charity circle of 16 different rescue initiatives in 10 countries with an emphasis on protecting wildlife in their habitats, in alleviating the stray cat and dog crisis, and in extinguishing cruelty in its worst forms. And like you said, Daria, we can have so many wonderful vicarious experiences by becoming members of the Harmony Fund, and that includes bottle feeding an orphaned otter or rescuing a chimpanzee from poachers in the Cameroon or even saving dogs right here in the United States, chained dogs who have spent every Christmas, every hot day, every lonely night on the end of a chain in someone's backyard, and you would be surprised at how often we can turn that around. And that's really what the Harmony Fund is about.
And I'd love to talk a little bit, just to give people an idea of the other side of that, some of these, the people who have devoted their lives. Let's talk about the people who take care of the hippos, who look out their window and feed the baboons. Talk a little bit, please, about that.
Well, the Turquoise Hippo Trust is one of our charities in our coalition. And it's led by a European couple that moved to Zimbabwe many years ago, and they have just dug in and endure the most incredible circumstances in their fight to protect the wildlife there. In fact, Karen, who is the director of that organization, is in bed today with malaria. And last week, her husband was in the hospital, rushed to the hospital some 3 hours away because he had been bitten by a scorpion. You know, they have been assaulted by angry mobs. They have their phone lines cut all the time. They're constantly under threat
by poachers.
It's the poachers, yeah. Really, because they're at odds with people who would like to kill the animals, and they're there trying to protect them, and there's just this underlying battle, and it's a dangerous situation. It's a country, you know, where there's tremendous poverty, the really upside-down politics of President Mugabe have taken, you know, Africa's breadbasket and turned it into a really poor country where, you know, the farming system is in collapse, and there's a lot of suffering right now and a lot of struggle.
So I think a weaker person would have left. Sure, these are great examples of optimism, because one thing that I remember you said was, she said, there's nothing like looking out your window in the morning and seeing baboons waiting to greet you.
At their door, looking through at their cats. elephants in the backyard.
Danielle, have you had any connections with any animals? Like, what would you say was your most unusual connection with an animal? Something that would have been really unexpected, or does anything come to mind?
I think that what comes to mind is connecting with animals that are in captivity in zoos. Depending on the zoo itself or the call it park or sanctuary itself, what that animal has to say. And a lot of times those animals are so happy to be in these new places despite those places not being their totally natural habitat. I think for me, kind of in line with what Laura's talking about, the sanctuaries and the places of peace, the animals get it. They understand that they're being helped. They understand that this is a safer, better, happier place, and they tell me about it. So I think that kind of answers that question in the sense of an odd connection, because I think a lot of people do worry about going to a zoo and feeling bad for the animals, et cetera. And in my experience, the animals get it, and they're happy about it.
And that is, thank you so much for sharing that, because, you know, that's something I think about a lot. And I do know that, I was watching some shows about a lot of the zoos now that they call themselves sanctuaries, and the programs that they are undertaking to really help animals in the wild, not just the ones in the sanctuaries. So I think that's a really good point to be brought up, that and the animals do appreciate everything that's being done for them. I want to talk about the spiritual side of this, because, you know, Laura, you and I have talked about divine guidance, and the audience might be interested in the connection that you've had with angels in this process. And I know firsthand, knowing you over the past couple of years, all of the wonderful communication you've had. So do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, I think it was, you know, around that time of Hurricane Katrina or shortly before that I first called you for help. And I was kind of hooked right away, particularly during that crisis situation where I was just, like everyone involved in that rescue effort, feeling so alone and so helpless. And I called Daria for help, and she gave me very specific information about who to call and where to turn and how to organize things. And I think our relationship began there. And over the last few years, Daria's been an incredible mentor to me, and has, in ways that I really can't describe, changed my life and my connection with God. Because, I went to church, I went to Sunday school, we were part of an Episcopal church, but I can't remember, other than feeling a love for God and a connection, I never really had any strong education. There wasn't a strong religious education. And if you had asked me, even probably as recently as 2 or 3 years ago, I would have probably thought that angels and Jesus were sort of on par with Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy. I mean, to be quite honest, I, I believed in God, but I thought the rest was all sort of fables and sort of teaching us moral lessons and not real. But that has changed. And through Daria's teachings, I've really learned how to meditate and to begin to talk to my guides and to harness what was kind of like a loose wire for me psychically. I used to have a lot of precognitive dreams, particularly about earthquakes for some reason and floods and things like that.
You were so connected to the earth grid. Every time there was going to be something would happen, the Lord would call up and say, oh my gosh, I dreamt there was a volcano eruption, and the next day there would be on the news.
Yeah, but the good thing is that there's been an evolution in that spirituality, I think that has died down. Those dreams have died down because there's a natural outlet for that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And today I have such a strong connection in such a short time with the angels. And even most recently as this week, it really blew me away because Monday or Tuesday was St. Francis Day. St. Francis of Assisi, who is the patron saint of animals. And the night before, I was getting ready for bed and saying prayers and asking for help with a particular situation with animals. And I saw an angel's face, like an illuminated painting almost of an angel's face. And I heard the name, sorry, someone's beeping in and it's really distracting me. It was the angel Ramiel, I believe, and I might be saying it a little bit wrong. And so I couldn't wait to hop out of bed and see, well, who is Angel Ramiel? I've never heard of that, and I wonder if this is, if I'll find this online. And I started doing research, and it came out that Angel Ramiel was the angel of compassion and opening people's innate empathy to others. And I thought, well, that makes perfect sense in this situation where I'm struggling to get people to be care about the animals in this crisis situation. And then something just provoked me to look again. So I searched again online. And what I found was that this angel, Ramiel, is supposed to be, and I don't know exactly how to put this right, dear, you might put it in better words, but that he was the transformation of St. Francis, that when St. Francis ascended, he is said to have become this angel.
Right.
And that was so unexpected to me.
Yeah. Or the way I look at it as he was the embodiment of the angelic energy who decided to incarnate in the human form as St. Francis. But for you, the whole point being that you didn't even know who St. Francis was. It wasn't when you were growing up. It wasn't part of your psyche. And you were able to put that together, which is pretty amazing. Danielle, do you have any particular spiritual references or connections that you work with, any special guides that you work with specifically for the animals?
I have a guide team specifically assigned to me to help me communicate with animals and between animals and humans, and I work with that guide team pretty much all the time. I also have a guide team assigned to me to help me write. I have several different guide teams, but the one that helps me with the animals and between the animals and humans is a very active one for me. It is constantly changing in size based on what I'm doing, where I'm heading, what I'm working on, how big the challenge is, etc. So for me, they're there all the time.
It's funny. I kind of equate it to, well, you have your team that helps you, but then they call in the emergency workers if you need them.
Yep, that's pretty much. I agree. Yeah.
And it's really important for people to hear this too, because they think that we're just on our own doing this, and we're not on our own. We do have help. Everyone, all of us, everyone on the planet has help to some degree. All you have to do is ask for it. But the more you tune in, the more you reawaken what you already know, your intuitive self. It's already there. Everything you need is already there. It's just a question of opening up to it, awakening to it. Our guides are just waiting on the other side. So once again, I want to please remind everyone to go to the Great Animal Rescue Chase. It's actually animalrescuechase.com. And if you donate, you will be entered into a drawing for a free download of one of Danielle's classes. And Danielle, I just want to ask you a little bit about what you have so many things going on now. What are you focusing on now? I know that's you're laughing. I know how you feel. I get up in the morning, I don't know where to start.
Seriously. Right now I'm finishing up my book proposal, and that's got to get out the door. I'm very excited about it. It's all about animal soul contracts. Other than that, I have a pretty heavy focus right now on individual sessions, as well as doing talks and really spreading the word to people about animal soul contracts and the depth of connection and the depth of love that animals have for humans, so that people can understand how much more these animals have to give than even so many animal lovers out there know now. Does that make sense? A lot of people are like, I love my dog, but they don't know how much more they could receive and give and experience with their dog if they opened more to their dog. So for me, that's kind of, it's about the depth within animals, and I want to spread the word about their souls.
And soul contracts is a theme that keeps coming up a lot lately. I actually did a show about it, I think maybe two shows ago, I'm not sure, but talking about soul contracts, and it just keeps coming up more and more and more. And once again, I think people are becoming more aware of the soul contracts between each other and between the animals in their lives, and what we can learn from each other and how they inspire us. So I just want to let people know that if you would like to go to Danielle, there are a couple of different ways you can contact her. Her phone number is 866-883-2280. You can schedule an online reading at her website, which is DanielleMcKinnon.com. That's also up
actually,
on my show page.
You can schedule a reading online. But
yeah,
the reading
online.
Take.
Okay.
But it's a regular reading.
Oh, okay. And then you also have, you can email at admin at Danielle McKinnon. So it's all there on the website. You also have free classes on your website.
I do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different ones. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot to be learned there. Okay, so we're going to take calls. One more thing, I just want to let people know that if they do go and donate, Laura, I know I have set it up so that you can, for myself, for as little as $7 a month, you can do automatic donations, right?
Right. People can make a single donation, just whatever they'd like, or they can enroll in a program to give every month or every week automatically through their credit card or bank account.
And when they go on the website, they will see the rescue tournament, they'll see the Harmony Fund, and then you also have they can enter to win money for their charity. Just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, anyone who enters the Great Animal Rescue Chase and participates and shares their story of an animal they've rescued is automatically entered to win our giveaway program. The next one closes, I think, at the end of December. And we're giving away, a few hundred dollars in cash prizes that the winners will direct to their favorite animal charity.
And another thing that I want to talk about, too, is that it's a good idea for people to learn who they can call in their town before they actually need to. Like, we're very lucky. I live in Brick at the Jersey Shore, and we have the Jersey Shore Animal Center, which is absolutely beautiful. It's been newly built. They don't kill animals unless it's absolutely, absolutely the last resort. They have a room where the cats can play together. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful. So if you live in Brick, we know who we can go to. So it's a good idea to familiarize yourself with who you can contact in your area if you need help beforehand, and keep those numbers handy. So I think, Laura, is there anything else you wanted to add? Otherwise, I'm going to go to take some calls.
No, absolutely, and it's time for animal communication. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. So I hope we have callers on the line. I know we've been talking quite a bit. But, Seth, is there anybody on the line? Okay, we don't have anyone holding, so we'll talk a little bit more, but please, I'm going to give these numbers out because I know there are people out there just absolutely dying to talk. So, okay, the toll-free number is 888-815-9756, and we have 530-327-7602, 530-776-5185, 530-413-4522. Okay, well, I'm going to talk a little bit about an animal while we're waiting for someone to call in. Okay, Danielle, there is an orange cat. We kind of call him the neighborhood bully, even though he looks at me and bats his little eyes. And he has been around, and he just wants to come and terrorize my cats. And he seems very loving, and he wants me to pet him and be nice to him. But if he gets near my other cats, he attacks. He attacked Willow. I had to take her to the vet. She had a hole in her side. It was pretty bad news. And I have kind of forbidden him to come into the area, although he kind of goes around the outskirts. So is there anything that you could tell me about him?
And I'll start by saying it's a little bit more difficult because we don't really know his name, et cetera. But it feels like he is willing to talk. First of all, I don't feel like he has a home, do you? He feels like he's hanging around.
I feel like there is someone who's taking care of him because he's not interested in my food. You know, that was my test.
But it's not a home.
Yeah, I feel like somebody's taking care of him, but it's not a home, right? And he's not neutered, so.
Yeah, he's basically, he wanders, he does his thing, he has his routine. Somebody's feeding him. It's like the food's out on the back porch for him, and he can go and get it. But the difficult thing about him is he really doesn't want to go in the house. He wants to be outside, and he wants to be on his own. I mean, I'm not quite sure what your question would be here because you can't move him unless you're going to move him and have him go live in a home, and the home would need to be in a more rural area where there really aren't other cats, but there are other animals who'd be very happy with that.
Yeah.
Other than that, he's claimed his space.
Yeah.
So I know you're saying you've forbidden him. He feels very, he's strong. He's a little
bit,
you know. What?
He doesn't believe me. He comes in, he bats his eyelashes. I try to chase him away, and he just sits there and bats his eyelashes at me. Okay,
yeah,
I thank you for that. I've been thinking about that, but we have a bunch of calls, so we're going to go to some of the callers. Okay, caller, who do we have on the line, please?
Daria?
Yes?
It's Donna Rose. How are you?
Hi, Donna Rose. I'm good. How are you? Do you have a question for Danielle?
Yeah, I wasn't going to call in because I just got a reading recently, but since the lines are a little bit more open right now, I take advantage
of it.
Go ahead. Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Hi.
God bless you all for what you do. I'm a fanatic with animals, and Daria recently told me, but several times, that I have a very strong connection with animals or an affinity for animals, and she recommended that I get medicine cards, animal medicine cards, which I did, and I absolutely love them. So I did read the book on it and everything, and I'm trying to learn what to do as far as helping people, having the animals help people through me. So when you do a reading or, you know, if people are asking me questions, because now I'm doing that as well, Daria.
Okay.
Do you use animals to, do animals actually, this might be I don't know if this is a far-fetched question, but do animals actually come to you, besides guides and angels, to actually help you give an answer or some insight to people who are asking you questions for a reading?
Donna, are you asking me, Danielle?
Yes.
Yes, you go ahead, Danielle.
Okay. You know, it could be anyone. My answer is sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. I'm at a point now where I pretty much call on who needs to be there. So if an animal shows up and needs to give me information to help the person, then that animal is there. I say so-and-so is here and give the information. But most of the time, the person already knows that they want information from the specific animal. So we all kind of start on the same page. Does that make sense?
Yes. I mean, things come right to me, like Daria mentioned, too, that it's pretty quick, the connection when I get answers. And I just always wondered sometimes if I would know if it's an animal, because a lot of times I don't know who's giving me the information, but I know that some information just popped into my mind and it's always accurate. So I was just wondering if I would be able to distinguish that pretty easily.
So the best way to work with that, personally, I don't like for information just to pop in, because I want to make sure that it's full of love and it's coming from my guides or the guides of whoever I'm working with. So I use intention. So the intention is I'm going to work with the human, or I'm going to work with the human's guides, or I'm going to work with the animal or the animal's guides, so that through my intention I know who's giving me the information. As I've gotten better and better at it, I can go, oh, this is from an angel, this is from a guide, this is from a deceased loved one. But that's taken a while to understand those nuances. And I just have to change the subject for a second. Are you doing animal communication or what?
Well, Daria actually really opened my mind and my awareness to the fact that I always knew I had a connection to animals, but I didn't realize in this sense, if you know, to actually have them work through me.
Okay. I just have to tell you that I get a very strong connection for you in that, and anything that you can do to boost it is going to help your abilities. It's going to open you up even more, and you're going to have a really good time with it because of your connections with animals.
Okay. Yeah. I do say a prayer before I do the reading, but I do like that you say to call on whoever needs to be there. That's tremendous. That's perfect. That really helps. So.
And then one other thing, I wanted to suggest that you throw the booklet away to the cards that you bought. Stop looking at the definitions. The way that I work with animals is I do, like on Facebook, I do animal energy readings is what I call them, and I'll clue into a person, look at them energetically, an animal will pop into my head, and today that animal means X, Y, and Z. And I say, okay, work with this animal for this energy, and this energy may be a totally different energy than what that animal is going to help somebody else with. So if you marry yourself to the definitions in the cards, I find it to be too limiting. So I just wanted to make that suggestion.
Wow.
Okay.
And then I guess, okay, yeah, thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much, Donna Rose.
God bless
you
guys.
For calling
Love
in.
You. Take care. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, I did say that you were quite a teacher, Danielle. So it's not just about making connections to the animals tonight. It's about him. And, you know, that's such a big part of what we do, is helping people open their gifts up and really tune into their abilities. So we have another caller on the line. Hello?
Hello?
I heard another beep. Is there another caller on the line?
Are you talking to me, Daria?
Okay, who am I speaking to?
This is Debbie in Virginia Beach. I like
okay.
the previous caller.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
Hi, guys. Like the previous caller, I had called in a couple weeks ago about my cat, Posy, and I didn't want to call in again, but you had to.
Well, that's okay. If you know, I firmly believe that anyone who is meant to get through will get through.
Wonderful.
So what's your question for Danielle?
I have never heard of contracts, animal contracts. It's the first time I've ever heard of that. And my cat of 17 years, who I've been caring for and I rescued, I had to let her go last week. And
what's
so
her name?
Her name is Posy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never had to, I've never been in that position to care for an animal all by myself for that many years and then face the choice of euthanizing her. And it's been overwhelmingly sad for me. As a matter of fact, I have her ashes right here. And this animal contract, is that something that you can shed more light on, or are you able to see what the deal was between she and between Posy and I?
Well, there's a few things going on here. One is it's very hard to connect directly with Posy until she's fully kind of ready, and it usually takes about 2 or 3 weeks for an animal to fully be on the other side. So we're looking at, you said, about a week, meaning her energy is a little bit softer, a little less organized than it would be a few weeks down the road. So what I want to say is, you know, this may be soft information rather than very detailed, and that's because it's just been, she's new on the other side. She's not all organized yet. I would be going to her to say, well, what is the soul contract between the two of you? I get bits and pieces from her, and what she's giving me, it's not like really, really super clear and detailed, but she's talking about independence, and that she was helping you feel that you had the strength to make it through this passing, and to make it through her, it looks like the last 4 years of her life were more difficult. The other thing that I'm getting is that she says that at the time when she passed, when you made the decision to euthanize her, it was done in such a way where you knew there was no other choice. And she says she did that to make it easier on you so that you wouldn't have to go through feeling badly, like maybe you made the wrong choice. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, yeah.
Okay. There's not a ton more that I can get from her, because just to give me that, she has to, it's just a lot to, it's like, I always think of it like, you know the old school Star Trek, and how the molecules, when they beamed up, had to go from, like, all the molecules aren't over there in the new spot yet.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty proud of her that after a week she's able to give me that.
Well, and I was wondering about that, if I was going to get a sense of her, because I've been telling her beforehand if there's any way she can, you know, visit me after her life here is over, that
okay,
I'm more than willing, I'm open to it. And I didn't really quite get the sense in the past week, and I didn't want to push it. I had that feeling that, you know, don't push that onto her.
Yes.
You know,
and that's what I was just about to say, is it almost feels like you've been carrying her ashes around with you, and that isn't going to be, that's not what you need to do in order to be able to sense her. So my suggestion would be that you let the ashes stay in one place in your home and kind of get used to not carrying her energy around with you that closely, because the more used to it you get, the more able she is to kind of show up, and you can see her out of the corner of your eye, and her little toy shows up on the floor, and, you know, funny things happen. But if you're holding on tight to her energy, I said this the other day, it's like, you know when a person gets right up in your face and they're so close it looks like they have one eye?
Yeah.
That's kind of what you're doing. So it's kind of like, you know, just allow her ashes to stay in one place and allow a little bit of space between the two of you, and then you're going to be able to sense her, and she'll be able to send you messages.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, for her to already have given me as much as she has, and it's only been a week, she's going to be able to give you some pretty fun messages.
Oh, good. Good. I'm looking forward to that, as I
cool.
miss her so much already.
And, you know, and it's not the kind of thing, too, that it's just, I mean, it's an ongoing process. I mean, I was dreaming of my cat, Shadow, last night, who passed away a few years ago. And I think just because she knew I would be speaking with Danielle tonight, you know, she popped in into one of my dreams. And, you know, they come often. My animals come to visit me often. So thank you for calling in.
Okay, thank you guys. Take care.
Laura?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an animal that you would like to ask Danielle about while we have her here on the line?
Gosh, well, there's probably 100 I'd like to ask you about, but let me choose this one.
Well, you have to pick one.
Okay. I had an orange cat named Hannah. She was orange with some white on her. And I rescued her from a racetrack that she was living in a horse track, and at the end of the season, the trainers leave, and she was left behind. She was elderly when I took her in, so we didn't have a whole lot of time together. And she's been passed for maybe a few years now, and I would love to just connect with her.
Okay, do you have a specific question you want to ask her?
Well, if we're talking about soul contracts, I'm curious about, you know, the connection between she and I, and I'm also curious about sort of how how she spends her time these days, if that makes sense as a question, or you know, what she's doing with her energy.
Where I want to start is what she gave me a word for the soul contract between the two of you, and the word was gratitude. And when the two of you were together and the life that you had together, she expressed her gratitude to you all the time. And didn't you always say you feel like she's so grateful? And it's like you talked about how grateful she was, right?
Yeah.
And so this is what the contract was between the two of you, for you to be able to see it, feel it, and experience it, knowing that this is actually one of the feelings that feeds you in the work that you do elsewhere. You had to be able to feel it at home. Does that make
okay.
sense?
That does. Wow.
Yeah, she was very, 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 very smart as well.
Oh, I agree. I concur. What does she do now? Like, I know that sounds like a strange question, but...
It's actually a question I hear a lot, but I'm going to answer it the way she is giving it to me. She comes and hangs out with you, and it looks like you have, I want to say, small children?
I have one, yes.
Okay, how old?
She's four.
Okay, that's small. There we go. And you must also have other children in the house because it feels like a loud house.
I have one loud child.
Oh, okay.
And lots of animals.
Okay. Oh, there we go. So she comes and she hangs out in your house, hangs out with your daughter, like around children. It's children's plural. So I feel like, but you also kind of, the animals in your house are also part of your family as much as a child is part of your family. So they all kind of go together. And then there's also an elderly couple, a man and a woman who she also goes and hangs out around. I don't know who that is. Do you?
Perhaps that was someone she had lived with in her earlier life.
Yeah,
I don't
could
know.
Be.
Okay.
And she was, what's this about her being bony?
Her back legs, or her front legs rather, kind of like pointed in. There was like
a strange
gait.
Okay.
It might be that. There was something not right structurally.
I think she's just telling us that so you can know that it's really her.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Like, see,
right.
See.
Yeah.
So gratitude feeds you, whether it's your own or the gratitude of others. And it's not that you're doing everything for thanks, but that gratitude of the people around you and the people who are grateful for what you're doing and the gratitude you feel for what they're doing, this is one of the important energies that you hold and that you give to other people. And she was holding that space and creating that energy with you.
That's beautiful.
Yeah,
thank you.
That is beautiful. And I can see that as a driving force, a real driving force for you.
Yeah.
Because gratitude carries such an incredible energy. And when everyone experiences the gratitude, the animals, the caregivers, and you being the facilitator, it's just such a beautiful thing. So I want to give out just one more time here. We've got Daniel McKinnon, MacKinnon.com. That's Danielle's website. Laura, AnimalRescueChase.com. And is there any other way you want people to contact you? Do you have an email
for the
website?
No, if they'd like to go directly to make a donation, they can also go directly to harmonyfund.org. That's the charity portion of the website where they can make a donation. And, you know, it can even be $5. It doesn't matter. Everything helps. So we appreciate that.
And within 24 hours, anyone who goes and donates to the Harmony Fund will have a chance to be entered into a drawing to win either one of Danielle's classes, a very, very interesting class. Do you want to talk about that class? Because we just have about a minute or two left.
Yeah, Animal Energy Clearing. It's a class where people learn to use their hands and work with their guides in order to move energy, manipulate energy, and animals can be healed and they can have emotional breakthroughs and basically you learn how to do that on an animal who is not there. So the animal could be in China. This would be a great thing for people who are working in charities and there's an animal they specifically want to be able to help. I'm actually teaching a class in that combined with beginner animal communication in Maine in November that if anyone's interested, that's on my website.
Okay. So thank you, everyone. We are just about out of time, and I would like to end by saying in the words of Théophile Gautier, who can believe there is no soul behind those luminous eyes? Thank you, ladies, so much for joining in tonight, and thank you both for all of the inspiring work that you do, and I wish you all grace and peace always, and good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.